الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حافظ عليها كانت له نورا وبرهانا ونجاة يوم القيامة ومن لم يحافظ عليها لم يكن له نورا وبرهانا ولا نجاة وكان يوم القيامة مع قارون وفرعون وهامان وأبي بن خلف أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, when we come to the masjid or wherever we are praying salat, it's very important prayer. We should have full concentration and devotion. Without khushu and khudu, our salat is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not like a hit and run. We just want to get it done. So, when we do something, we should do according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and as commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are several ayat in the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala required and emphasized and commanded us to pray salat with the concentration and devotion. One of these ayat is, I just recited, that hafizu. Take care, hafiz wa hifazat. When you present something in front of the great personality, you make sure that you present in the proper manner. You're giving someone and you're looking around or talking to someone, how he will feel? You came to insult me? You're not paying attention towards me? Get out from here. I don't want your present. I don't want your gift. So we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say Allahu Akbar Takbir Tahrimah, everything we leave behind, throw it away and concentrate and focus on the prayer. But this is the human nature that we do make mistakes and is not in our control. And especially Shaitan, number one enemy, open enemy of mu'min. First, he will try, we should not come to the masjid or we should not start the prayer. That will be his first try. But somehow we defeated him, we made wudu, we came to the musalla. Now he's gonna whisper, he's gonna bring the all kind of ideas and thoughts in our mind which we never thought before we started Allahu Akbar. And once we say Assalamu Alaikum, we forget all those things again. Because his job is done. His only try is while we are praying, while we are in front of Almighty Allah, that's the moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focusing with his mercy. Right? And he's paying attention towards us. He wants to listen what we are going to say. What is our request? And what is our needs and necessities? Why we came in his court? Allah Ta'ala is, you know, eagerly wants to see us. And he's focusing here and we are thinking of something else. So this is what Shaitan wants, to remove our attention from the salah. So, this is not new, it is natural. And it happened to our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Bin Rahmatul Alameen and Sayyidul Mursaleen, and his connection with Almighty Allah was such a strong connection. No one can imagine how strongly he was connected 24/7. While he used to sleep, he used to be linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also at that particular time as well. So sometimes incident happen in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam And ulama explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purposely made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to forget, to teach the lesson to the ummah, if they will make mistake, how they should correct the mistake in the salah. That's why, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in this world as a role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. A perfect example. Example to follow in every aspect. So in ibadat also, we have to follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also to forget something, so he will show how to correct or remake the mistakes which is done during the salat time. I will quote, there are several ahadith, but I will quote a couple of it. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala narrated this hadith that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed salatul dhuhr 5 rakat. So when he made salam, so sahaba asked, ya Rasulullah sallam, azida fi salam, from today dhuhr salat will be 5 rakat? Rasulullah said, no, it is 4 rakat. So he says, Sallayta khamsan, you perform today 5 rakat. So immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned towards Qibla, fasajada sajdatayn ba'da salam. So he made sajdatu sahwa, 2 sajda, and then he made the salam. And this is the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, authentic hadith. So he taught us, if we forget during the salat, what should we do and how should we do. Another riwayat, Ibn Bahina radiallahu ta'ala narrated, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqama al-rakatayn. After, it was a 4 rakat salat, and after 2 rakat, he forgot to sit down for qaida ula. He stood up for 3rd rakat. Fasabbahu. As usual, if Imam forgets, so Musalli and Muqtadi, what they do? They make loud Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, to remind the Imam that something you have missed. Takbir. So Sahaba said, Fasabbahu. Famada, Rasulullah didn't care, and he continued his prayer. Falamma faraga, when he completed 4 rakat, sajada sajdaini summa sallam. He performed 2 sajdatus-sahw at the end of the 4th rakat, and then he makes salam. And they explain the Sahaba that if you forget something during the salah, this is how you should do. At the end, you must perform sajdatus-sahw, 2 sajdatain, and then you must read tashahud and complete your prayer. This another incident. And one more hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hadith Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated this hadith, that idha shakka ahadukum fi salatihi, that when you have doubt while you are praying and you don't know whether you prayed 3 rakat or 4 rakat, this is what most of the times we have the doubt, whether we prayed 2 rakat, we prayed 3 rakat, we prayed 4 rakat. Falyatri shak, what you should do, it is from shaitan. Leave your doubt. And whatever your heart says, that I did 3 or I did 2, based on that, then at the end of the salah, you add whatever the rakat you have missed, then you must perform the 2 sajda, sajda to sahwa, and you must complete your salat as usual. Then Rasulullah sallam said, if you really perform 4 rakat, and you made sajda to sahwa, that extra sajda will be disgrace for the shaitan, because shaitan doesn't want us to make extra sujood, and here we made 2 extra sujood to humiliate him more. That's why sajda to sahwa is to humiliate shaitan. Okay, you are stopping me to pray salat, or you are interfering with my salat, you are whispering and destroying my salat, I'm going to make extra sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humiliate him the more. Sometimes imam make a mistake. And muqtadis, musalli, they were okay. They never made any mistake. So question arise, why we should make sirdesab? Imam made a mistake, let him do it. I never made mistake. Why I should do extra sista? So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innama ju'ila al-imamu liyutamma bihi. That when you appointed someone in front of you as an imam, it means you are going to follow him completely. فَلَا تَخْتَلِفُ عَلَيْهِ. Don't argue with him. He is a human being, he can make mistake. So don't make ikhtilaf. Oh, he is making sujood, he made a mistake. Why should I do it? I am not going to do it. I have done my salat correctly. No. Once you made him imam and you made the niyat, I am following this imam, then if he makes mistakes, and if he does sajdatu sahwa, the whole congregation also have to do it, regardless if they make mistake or he doesn't make mistake. Now, masail is this. There are 7 conditions before we start the salah. If we miss one of the condition, our salat is not started. To make the salat start, to enter into the salat, there are 7 conditions. Number 1, our body should be clean. If a person is performing salat without wuzu, his salat is not accepted because his body is not clean. He did not perform the wuzu or ghusl. Right? So first condition, that his body should be clean. He said, oh, I am praying so many years salat, but I don't make wuzu. Still, I can make ruku and sajda, I can recite the fatiha, but I don't make wuzu, my salat is done. His salat is not done because condition is that he should be clean and pure. So tahara is important. Then the cloth is wearing, he should be clean also. If the on the body, on the cloth, if some drop of the urine or blood or any filth, then with that cloth he cannot perform salat. The third condition, his satar, his aura should be covered. He cannot expose, he cannot have the shorts and pray salat. With the shorts, his salat is not done. As for the sisters, only face, the palm and the feet are allowed to expose. Face, palm, and the feet. They have to cover the hairs, ear, and the entire body. If the hair is exposed, they don't have scarf or the ear, then their salat is not accepted by Allah. Their satar, their aura is the entire body. Except face, hands, or palms, and the feet. If they have shorts, they cannot pray salat. They have to have the long sleeves to cover their entire hand. Only palm should be exposed. So they should be careful in this regard. Another thing, I have said 3 conditions. The 4th condition is to the place where you are praying salat, that place also should be clean. If you mat or rug or is dirty, some kid has urinated or dog or cat has urinated on that, you cannot pray on that rug. On that, you have to make sure wherever you are praying salat, that place also should be clean. The 5th condition is you have to have the direction of the qibla. You cannot randomly stand up anywhere and start praying salat. You have to face the qibla. That is the condition. If you're facing other than Qibla side, then your salat is not accepted. The 6th condition is you have to have proper time for that salat. For example, right now is going to be Zuhr salat. Or someone comes and he starts praying Asr niya. I'm going to pray Asr salat right now. His salat will not be done because this is not time for Asr. Time for Asr is not entered yet. So we have to pray every salat on in specific time. Inna salata kanat alal mu'minina kitabam mawquta. The ayat of the Holy Quran that for every salat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed the proper time. From that particular time we have to pray and we have to wait for the time. When time enters, then we can pray that particular salat. This is the condition. Now seventh condition is to make the niyyah. We cannot just come stand and say Allahu Akbar, and in the mind we don't have which salat I am praying. So you have to specify. We don't have to say like verbal that, oh, I am praying for rakat, zuhr salat, facing qibla, behind this imam, for Allah. This verbal sentence is not required. Niyyah means you should have in your heart that I am going to pray zuhr salat. That's enough. And Allah knows what is there in the heart. Whatever we are saying verbally before we start, that is just the mustahab. If a person doesn't say all those sentences, but since he left his house, his intention was, I am going to the masjid to pray Salatul Zuhar, that's enough. Or I came to the masjid to pray Salatul Jummah, that's enough. That is his niyyah. That is his intention. So these are the seven conditions. If anyone missing this condition, it means his salat is not even started. Before we start our prayer, these seven conditions we have to consider, we have to keep in mind in order to start the prayer. Now while we are starting the salat and we are enter in the salat, there are six farais, obligatory act of the salat. How many? Six, which is compulsory. If you miss one of these six, Sajda Sahwa is not going to help you. Sajda Sahwa is not for the faras. If you miss the faras act, you miss the whole prayer. Then you have to repeat from the beginning all over. What are those six compulsory acts during the salah? Number one, takbir tahrima. Tahrima, first takbir, Allahu Akbar. Raising your hands to the earlobe, or the sister raise up to their shoulders. So this takbir is called takbir tahrima, meaning this is the takbir to enter into the prayer. This is the entering into the prayer. If you don't say takbir tahrima, your salat will not begin. Your salat, if you want to go anywhere, you have to ignite the key into the engine, right? If you don't, if you keep the key in your pocket and you sit in the car and start moving the steering, your car not going to move. Why? You have the key, but you not started here, brother. You sitting in the car, and if you moving the steering, how you going to move? Start first. So that's how takbir tahrima is starting. When you start, then what you have to do? You change the gear, you do whatever you do, you know driving better than me. So this is the example of takbir tahrima. Why is it tahrima haram? Meaning, before you were talking with your wife, you're talking, you're eating, you're doing so many things. The moment you say Allahu Akbar, now it's haram to talk, haram to eat, haram to drink, haram to reply. Everything becomes haram, forbidden. That's why it's called takbir tahrima. So when this is the faraz, takbir tahrima is faraz. Without that, you cannot enter into the salat. Second, qiyam, standing position for a healthy person. Yes, if a person is disabled, if with the issue of standing, he is sick, then he's allowed to sit down. Otherwise, qiyam is compulsory faraz act of the salat. That's why some of the brothers, they're sitting in the car and they pray salat. While they are sitting in the car, the salat is not done. Why? Because they are missing faraz. Faraz is to stand. Qiyam. Qiyam is faraz. If they don't have excuse, then qiyam is faraz. You have to come out from the car and pray salat on the ground. You cannot sit down and pray in the salat. I mean in the car. The third for us act is the qiraat. Qiraat meaning Suratul Fatiha, first two rakat of the faraz, and adding the extra surah. That is the qiraat. That is also faraz. If a person doesn't just stand and he doesn't read Suratul Fatiha or doesn't add the surah, his salat will not be done. If he makes Sajda Sahwa, that is not valid because he missed the faraz. Sajda Sahwa will not complete it. Now, the fourth faraz of the salat is the ruku, to make the ruku, bow down halfway. And the fifth is to make two sujood in every rakat. And the sixth one is to sit down for the tashahud. After two rakat or after four rakat, sitting down, it is also faraz. So these are the six faraiz, obligatory act during the salah. Now, if a person is missing any condition, seven condition before the salah, Sajda Sahwa will not make it. If he miss any six faraiz during the salah, Sajda Sahwa will not help. Then why is Sajda Sahwa? Sajda Sahwa is for the wajibat of the salah. If you miss any wajib during the salah, then to make it, Sajdatu Sahwa is necessary. Quickly, I just recite the wajibat and then inshallah will continue. What is the wajibat of the salah? Number one, fixing the first two rakat of faraz salat for the qiraat. First two rakat, surah. Third and fourth, there is no surah in the faraz salat. It is wajib to recite Surah Fatiha in all the rakat of the every salat. However, in the third and fourth rakat of every salat, it is sunnah and not wajib. Number three, to recite surah in lengthy one ayat or three short ayat after Suratul Fatiha in first two rakat of faraz salat and in all the rakat of the wajib sunnah and nafar salat. This is also wajib. Number four, to read Suratul Fatiha before any surah. If a person starts Qul Huwallahu Ahad first and then he reads Suratul Fatiha, he has to make Sajda Sahwa. This is wajib. He is doing upside down. So Suratul Fatiha should be first and then you have to add the surah or ayat afterwards. Number five, to maintain order, sequence. First the qiyam, then the qiraat, then the ruku, then the sajda. If it messed up in this sequence, Sajda Sahwa will be wajib. Number six, the qawma. Qawma meaning standing after Sami Allahu liman hamida. You have to stand for a while. Some of the people, they don't stay halfway and they go sajda. So they're missing the wajib. If they're missing the wajib, they don't go Sajda Sahwa, the whole salat is not accepted. So qawma meaning standing up properly after the ruku. And jalsa is also wajib. Jalsa meaning after first sajda, we have to sit down calmly, perfectly, and then go back. Some people, they just do halfway and then go the second sajda quickly. Meaning, if they're missing the jalsa, the sitting position between the two sujood, that is also wajib. If they miss the wajib, they have to make sajda to sahw. Qaida ula means the first after two rakat when we are sitting, that is called qaida ula. To recite qiraat aloud in Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, Jummah, Eidain, this is also wajib for the imam. For Maghrib Salat, he keep quiet, he doesn't read loudly. So Sajda Sahwa will be wajib. He had to recite louder. Or in Zohar Salat, he started reciting louder Suratul Fatiha. He is supposed to be quiet. So Sajda Sahwa will be wajib. To read the Tashahud in first Qaida and second Qaida also wajib. If you miss the Tashahud, then he had to make Sajda Sahwa. Number 12, end Salat with the Salam. He had to make a Salam Alaikum. He doesn't make Salam, stand up without making salam, so he missed the wajib. And number 13, to make takbir for dua kunut, also it is wajib. And that six extra takbirat of the salat is also wajib. My time is up. Inshallah, I'll continue next week, if Allah forbid, to make more important masail with regard to Sajdatu Sahwa, when and how Sajdatu Sahwa will be performed. Salam.